So we need one more for quorum, but we can move to the interactive, the information items, because we actually have activities for you guys to do. And then when someone comes, we can call the meeting to order, if that's okay with you guys, or?
All right.
No, we'll be.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll hold up all the roll call, motion to adopt, approve. Let's just get right down to the, your report.
All right. So item 1E, tech liaison's report. We have Kevin Fisher, our new staff member. He's our TP coordinator.
Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you.
Kevin comes with an experience worker just recently from Broward County. And then he has private sector experience working with Renaissance Planning Group and Kimley Horn. Kevin has a master's of science in regional planning from Georgia Tech and is also a member of the Boynton Beach Planning Development Board. Janice Allwood, our previous administrative secretary, has moved down to the county attorney's office. So you guys know Margarita, she's your usual, but she's filling in for Janice with her other duties. Jim Wolf is the former FDOT District 4 secretary. He was recently named to replace Gus Pago as the FDOT D6 secretary, so Miami-Dade and Monroe County. The MPO has a complete speech working group, or they met on May 25th and will be scheduling the next meeting for late June with the goal of developing local implementation guidelines to assist the locals with the advancement of complete speech projects. And then we are having our first road impact fee alternatives ad hoc committee meeting June 13th. It's a Monday at 1:30 here at the MPO offices if anyone's interested. It's a public meeting. Big news, Allboard Florida/GoBrightline intends to create a test track from Northeast 22nd Avenue in Boynton to Nottingham Road in West Palm Beach. As early as September 2016, they're going to be testing operations. So, since there will be those, you know, those trains running, we're trying to work with them to create a quiet zone prior to the full implementation of the quiet zones. So, we're working with, you know, Brightline staff, and we're going to work with the cities to figure out how we should do this and how we should piece this together. And Planning Congress, West Palm Beach, the Downtown Development Authority and Church Coast Regional Planning Council are sponsoring a half-day forum on Tuesday, June 7th to address the growing population issues in Palm Beach County, if anyone's interested. And that's it for the report.
Could we have a copy of that?
Sure.
Most of those items were covered in the last newsletter we sent out. Are you guys receiving that by email every few weeks?
Okay. It might be one of those spam boxes, too.
I'm sorry?
Spam boxes as well.
Yeah, so maybe check your junk email. If you, there should be another one coming out the first of next week. And maybe if you would do a quick, if you do receive it, if you would just reply, hey, got it, or something.
Okay.
Now help us know who is successful in getting it, because it's difficult to figure out who may not be.
So by Wednesday, we should have it?
Exactly.
So if I don't see it by Wednesday, reply.
Exactly.
I didn't get it.
Thank you.
Right.
For your
word?
Okay.
Yes.
It's out front.
Oh, man, I came by so fast.
Right. Got to do one thing. 11. It's
another form. Because this.
Corrections, anyone? question, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We have the minutes of the May 4th meeting, 2006. Motion. Minutes.
Make a motion to adopt.
Motion by Glenn, second by Dick. Any corrections by anyone in those minutes? Seeing none, call a question, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Record reflected Tomas is here. Since we're live. Okay, we just went through the CAC report. Next item is on the agenda is the action item 2A of the public.
Any public comments from Vicki?
No, but thank you for asking.
Okay. Anybody else as staff? So, no comments from the public. So, action item for 2A, which is the motion to adopt, to recommend adoption of fiscal year 17-21 transportation improvement program.
All right, this is the second and final reading of the draft transportation improvement program for fiscal year 17 through 21. And it is relatively unchanged from the last time you've seen it, really. The only change has been the addition of the maps that I did. You'll find this on pages 14 and 15. But I'll just run through this and then I'll cover the map at the end, just for our discussion. So here's our timeline to the TIP. In spring of 2015, stakeholders submit their projects to the MPO through the Transportation Alternatives Program, the Local Initiatives Program. FDOT identifies their system project priorities as well. In summer, the MPO board adopts a prioritized list of projects, and FDOT evaluates available funds and project costs. In October, they presented their draft tentative work program and incorporates the MPO's priorities into that list. After that, FDOT sends their draft tentative work program to the Florida Transportation Commission, Central Office, the Governor, and the Legislature for adoption of their budget. And in April, we received our snapshot, and that's the basis for the May and June transportation improvement program. So we are here. So we have our suggested approach to review here. We want to make sure that the funding allocation of the TIP is consistent with the MPO board's directions, mainly in regard to the SU funds. We want to be proactive and maintain our accelerated funding for MPO priority projects. And this is our last chance to review fiscal year 17 construction projects. And we just want to evaluate significant changes from the work program to the TIP and, you know, everything in between and after, because stuff changes on a daily basis in the work program. So major projects, same presentation as last month. The fourth westbound lane on Bridge Road will be struck. It's still in this, but it will be struck from the program because we're going to wait for that interchange work in fiscal year 22 with the hope to advance into the 19. So we're still waiting for Allport Florida to give us the construction estimates for phase two of Allport Florida. We submitted our list, I think, in mid-April, just waiting to hear back from them. But it should follow the same process as phase one. So there's been no progress on the Triral Jupiter extension. We're waiting on FDOT to enter into product development. And Nick, what did Lisa say they're waiting for? You touched on that earlier.
Just late summer, early fall. I don't think she gave a reason.
Okay.
Just an estimated start to the 2-year project development time frame.
Plans are done.
Wait, are we talking?
No, three.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, hold on. Where? Yeah, we're talking tri-rail extension. I guess the point there is just to make the committee aware that although we've made this an MPO priority project, it's going to take a long time. We have to, and we can't even start the clock to construction until we start project development. So DOT has been, you know, we the MPO board entered into a memorandum of understanding saying go forth and do project development in December of 2014. So we've been waiting for them to pull the trigger for almost 2 years, for a year and a half now, and in order to just start that two-year study. So we're just trying to keep you abreast of what's not happening, essentially.
And then we did take this to the MPO board, and after discussions, we're going to look to allocate MPO funds for Battle Road in the new year. So the next tip you will see, actually as early as December of next year when they bring back the draft and work program, you should see money in Battle Road in the new 6 year, in 22.
Where is Battle Road in the
In Lake Worth,
west of
95. Yeah, it's like the next, right after 95. It's in north south, it's near an industrial park area, basically.
Lake Worth Industrial Commerce.
It runs from Lake Worth Road to 10th Avenue North. It's the western, not really border, it kind of bisects the Lake Worth Park of Commerce on the west side of I-65.
Oh, okay. Right,
so it's primarily, the project is intended to provide infrastructure to allow for development of the Park of Commerce.
Thank you.
Lake Worth has been looking for a legislative appropriation in the past several sessions. And each time they get a yes from the legislature, a no from the governor, and various reasons for the veto that the governor's office has responded with.
But we have it figured out now.
We hope so.
So
it'll be a job creator earlier for us.
It could be a potentially very.
Shared, and that's it.
All right. Local initiatives. We're really close to our 5-year funding target. One highlight is the Riviera Beach project on US-1. Same as last month, but we've been working with Riviera Beach to match the utility burial project and fund construction. So basically, the project is being split into two phases to align with their burial project. Six projects are funded for design only. We anticipate that we're going to use reserve funds in 21 for construction of those. And then the TIP will fully fund all existing priorities through 21 with the set aside. And you'll see a small amount of money in 20 in that table. It's table 2 in the document. And it's the last line item. Next page. But you'll see a small amount of money in 19, a larger sum in 20, and we anticipate that's the design cost for the projects that were submitted this year. So that's it's actually road dashes. It's 27, but.
What page?
It's on page 17 in your document. And there's three main tables. Those are the main tables that feed these slides. So you can see all the priorities of the MBO and they're different funding sources. So TAP, we have three projects for construction this year, 17, 5 and 18, and 5 and 19. Those are table 3 in that document. And those are going pretty smoothly. And then table 4 in your document is the 17 construction projects. So just to highlight some of these on the screen, we have identified managed lanes from Barrington Line to South of Glades Road, State Road 7 from 60th to North Lake, State Road 7 from Barrington Line to Glades Road. That's a pathway and buffer bike lane project that the MPO has been working with DOT on. Turnpike resurfacing projects, military trail resurfacing projects. So State Road 7 from Clintmore to Atlantic will be similar to the area to the south, just minus the pathway. So at least we'll have buffer bike and State Road 7 there. Alliance Road Safety Project was initiated by the county in Western Boca. That's set for construction. And the county will construct the new Flavor Pick Road from State Road 7 to Lyons. And there's a couple of other county projects in the table, just so we don't highlight all of them on the screen. But question, Tom?
We see buffer bike lanes in a few areas. When we say buffer bike lanes, what does that exactly entail?
Do you have projects? You have a picture in like the S folder in the S graph. So our definition of a buffered bike lane is horizontally separated, basically outside travel lane then you would have the start of the bike lane with a second line, and then the bike lane would be interior to that.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think minimum is like 12 inches.
Yeah.
With a preference of 2 feet, but.
Okay.
So, yeah, just think outside travel lane would be here. Then you would have that buffer, the, you know, length of horizontal space, and then the bike lane would be.
Yeah, okay, but it's more paint buffer than a
it's
physical.
But you're farther away from cars.
Okay.
So.
Yeah,
okay,
excellent.
Levels, so you can have your buffer bike lane or a separated bike lane, where the separated bike lane would have a physical barrier. So
okay. Thank you for the definition.
How realistic are the project schedule for construction FY 17? I mean, you've got
a new four
table
lane?
Table four.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a very high degree of confidence that these projects are going to be constructed in FY 17?
Most of them, and I would defer to Nick for the first one, because he went to the PS&E meeting. He went to the PS&E meeting, so he has a little more detail.
I wouldn't put a high degree of confidence on that response.
For that project, but most of the others are pretty good.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask that question because I think it sends an inaccurate message to all parties at hand to state that this road is going to be constructed in FY17. I don't know how you judge when it might actually go to construction, but the legal problems that have to be sorted out will certainly take 2 or 3 years. The ones that we've been talking about, and it just doesn't seem to me to be realistic to put that kind of money in an FY17 construction project when it's highly unlikely that it could be constructed in FY17, and those funds could be used in FY17 for something. I know, I mean, it's a totally political thing as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. FDOT wants to move that construction in its charts to the earliest possible date to satisfy some political interests. But there are other political interests that oppose it. And I could describe to you all the legal questions that are on the table. I don't know whether they're valid questions or not, but it's certainly going to be several years before those things are settled. And that's just the South Florida Water Management District permit. Following that's the Corps of Engineers permit, and EPA has already intervened in that process. And if EPA eventually does intervene in that process, you know, that will add at least 2 more years on top of that. So it's highly unlikely, and to tell people that it's going to be constructed in FY17 just gives a false impression.
And I mentioned it earlier, the tip is a snapshot of the FDOT draft and their work program. Things change daily. This is how it is as of now. So.
But let me speak to that. So first, I would say I very much appreciate and recognize that this is not just a political question, it's a financial question. Because when you allocate resources to accomplish a particular outcome, and then you can't accomplish that outcome, you have to reallocate those resources, or you risk, especially with the federal funding component, you risk losing them, which is an outcome none of us want. So it's a very important question to have, to be able to answer. Do we have a plan that allows for a contract for construction to be issued on this project in the time frame of fiscal year 17? And the answer to that question is presuming an outcome to the water management permit challenge and issuance of a Corps of Engineers permit. The project schedule for State Road 7 right now assumes notice to proceed, awarding of a contract, and notice to proceed for construction in May of 2017, which is at the outer limit. June 30th is the end of fiscal year 2017. So the outer limit, kind of back quarter of 2017. is the assumed schedule for the project right now. But I do recognize your point that their presumption on the duration of those challenges and the challenger's presumption on the duration of those challenges are probably very different. And so we're going to have to continue to live in the gray, I suppose, of saying we want this to happen, being ready for it to happen, and then reacting if all the stars don't align for permits to be issued and construction to commence and react and reallocating resources.
Well, I think you said it correctly. There's a presumption on the part of FDOT that it will have no problem getting the permits on a timely basis. In order for it to be able to issue that.
Yeah, I'm nodding my head because I think May of 2017 assumes a lot of problems obtaining permits.
Yeah.
I mean, if this was a traditional project, it would be underway last year. So they're assuming a lot of slippages in the schedule. They're just maybe not assuming as much as...
I think it's been on the schedule since 2005.
Sure, it's been on there.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, question. If it doesn't happen in May of 17, does the MPO lose those federal funds?
That's a complicated question that I don't know the details. I'm not sure how to best answer.
Okay.
The big picture is, I'll share with you that the state of Florida is incredibly good at making sure that every federal dollar available to Florida and more is consumed in Florida. Whether or not those dollars would be programmed in the Palm Beach MPO's planning area on a project of similar importance to us is a very different question.
Yes.
But I can say with a high degree of certainty that Florida will not lose that money.
Okay.
I'll just leave it with that.
Right.
I can go down another rabbit trail of explaining
right.
why, but that's more detail than you need.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. And significant changes. So I mentioned the unidentified managed lanes for construction 17 is from Brownstown to South Blades. So that was split into two projects. It was originally all the way up to Linton, but now they just phased it. So the second phase is in this year 19. And turnpike widening. So this was not in the draft of the work program. We found out in April, but they're doing the widening of the eight lanes, Lantana Plaza to Lake Road 18, Blades Road to Boynton Beach in 20, and then Brownstown line to Blades and Blades Road in 21. So could you switch over to the P? Are there any questions on anything in the
yeah.
tables?
No. Have you figured out how to do managed lanes north of Linton?
No. I mean, there's actually a study in the TIP to evaluate how to implement managed lanes from Linton all the way to Indiantown.
Right.
But the study is not yet over. So,
okay.
I mean, essentially the question is going to be, is it worth converting the HOV lanes to bollard separated, like flexible post separated, managed lanes that you have to pay to go into depending on the congestion of the other lanes instead of having to have a passenger? I know the answer they're going to come back with is, yeah, let's charge people instead of letting them drive with a neighbor for free. And it's probably going to be a recommended outcome. And then the question is going to be, what are the entry and exit points?
Mm-hmm.
So
the HOV lanes are good because they're in the car.
Sure.
And I'm on that road going to hockey 4 days a week with my son, and it's like every car is one person.
Yeah.
But I thought there was something where you couldn't convert an HOV lane to an HOT lane.
No, there's a provision in statute that it prohibits you from converting a general purpose lane to a variable priced express or managed lane.
Okay.
But you are allowed to convert HOV lanes to
HOT.
Managed lanes or HOT lanes, yeah.
Okay, so south of Linton would be two HOT lanes. North of Linton would be a single.
Correct, because the scope of work for the segment from Broward County up to Linton Boulevard, today it's three general purpose lanes, one HOV lane.
Right.
The scope of work for the managed lanes project will be to add a new lane and convert the HOV lane to an HOT or managed lane.
Right.
So two managed lanes, three general purpose lanes.
And then north of Linton would be one HOT lane and
four and one. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
May I ask a question about the couple of items on the table two? And I actually asked this question by email, and that is, what experience do you have on North Lake Boulevard with adaptive traffic control systems? There are two proposed in local initiatives, and I'm curious to know what the experience has been. I mean, it's an opportunity to do some local research. And understanding what the traffic conditions were before and after the installation of the adaptive traffic management system on North Lake Boulevard. Has it improved things? Is it worth the money?
So we reached out to Yuri Jidmuta with the traffic division. He has sent a request to another one of his project managers, and we should be getting, I don't know if it's going to be a report or what it's going to be, but we're going to give you an answer, and we'll send it to everyone here. So, but I'm sure that they've kind of done some performance, some, you know, measurements of that. So, all right.
Thank you.
Yep. Good question.
I just want to get
good
it on
question.
The table because yeah. if we're adapting, we're installing, or using new technology to try to solve problems. We ought to be looking at the effectiveness of those technologies for solving the problems. Otherwise, we could just keep using them and investing money for no purpose.
And actually, I forgot about this, but Bastian Schroeder for Pittleson, we went to a workshop, and they received like a Sharp 2 grant, and they're working on a tool. So they're looking for previously installed systems and doing before and after snapshots. And they basically are doing that NPDRS?
CHRP?
No. The road.
NPDRD. Yeah, crazy acronym that's with national data.
So basically, they're getting travel times from vehicles that are equipped with Bluetooth, radar stuff. They're just doing before and after snapshots of quarters that have had the improvement. So that will be one item. And I actually signed up to be a beta tester for whatever tool Bastian develops. So that will be one indicator. And that was on Glades Road from, I think, Butts East to US 1. So that's one item. And the reason we sent that as a test to Bastian was because it was done in the time frame they were looking at. I think they have enough data. It was like 12 to 13 year, you know, in fiscal year 12 and 13. And Nick, do you know when North Lake was implemented? Is that more recent?
Yeah,
it's just last year.
So we couldn't send that to him as a test
right,
tool.
Right. North Lake is very recent.
So that'll be more data for that.
Yeah.
So curiosity question for the committee. Is that a topic that you're interested in? That I mean, we can have not just a report, but maybe have an information item presentation to you at a future meeting of how, like, before and after North Lake Boulevard has been, and you know, what the experience has been.
I'd certainly be interested.
Okay.
I live on North Lake, so I'm biased.
Yeah. We'll make him come and defend the benefits,
yeah.
Or is there the headaches?
I mean, you know, county traffic makes the request to us, and we're funding these, so. It's a priority to them, but let's see the effectiveness.
Yeah.
I think that's what adds to the performance measurement.
And there are also limitations of the application of nationwide data to local circumstance. Because we have trains, we have I-95, we have other kinds of problems that may not always be present in national data. So it's useful to have local data.
All right, just wanted to highlight the map. So this was not in the May version of the tip that you all received. So we have projects are color-coded, red or yellow. So projects with red are federal and state funded. Yellow projects are local funded, so county and then your municipalities. I've endeavored to map every project we could. Some projects are not mappable, like just think of like general CEI support, stuff like that. But so the labels on here are color-coded by section in the tip that they are. And then, you know, we give your FM number, and then we try to give a good enough description to where you can kind of get a feel for what's going on. So intersection improvements are generally red, you know, dots, so red are, so if you, like, point at Crestwood and State of 80, sorry, to the left a little bit, yeah, those are two intersection improvement projects. And the county has a couple of intersection improvement projects as well. So we have North and South County, and then we also have a Glades inset down below. But,
by the way, you're missing State Road 7 and Okeechobee at 60.
So that's covered in the 16 through 20 tip, so technically it's not in here. I think I'm really only missing one project, and it was discussed earlier. It's the rail corridor out in Glades. I forget the name of it.
South Central Florida Express?
South Central Florida Express. So I'm waiting for basically one or two more shapes from DOT, and the map will be complete. It's a very tedious task. There's a lot of projects on here. It gives you a good sense of where the money's being spent, though. And so I hope that you look at the map, see something that interests you. You can copy the FM number and just search for it, and then you'll get more details, you know, in the meat of the document. We are working with the county to develop an online GIS-based mapping tool to where it'd just be a simple click, and then it would pop up and give you the information. So in the past, we've worked with our consultants. We have our interactive TIP tool. Currently, it's live for the previous TIP, 16 through 20. But you know, once this is adopted, we'll migrate that there. But we want a more robust tool to where we can have draft TIPs, adopted TIPs, and then other features like our bike symbology. We want to have our LRTP projects on there. We're kind of looking to create a one-stop shop for mappable projects and information that we give you guys. If you look on our website, we also have like some historical projects that have been created. I can share some links with you guys, but we're trying to make a one-stop shop.
Before you have that live, is there a possibility of getting this in 11 by 17?
So this is 11 by 17. So right, it just didn't print that way because of probably our printing preferences, but if
no, could you forward an 11 by 17 to us?
Yes.
Okay.
Or bigger. Yeah.
Now we're in it.
Okay. So does the map make sense to everyone?
Yes.
Is it useful?
Yes.
Are there is there anything missing that you think might be relevant? So the not like projects, but the one idea that we had is, so this is my third iteration of a tip of the doing the mapping for this. The first time we had our project like work mix, so like, you know, bike lanes or whatever, and we had a year of construction. So really that just goes through, I write the expression in ArcMap, and it would be up there. The task is tedious, though, because you have to go project by project to figure out when is this happening. But basically, we think that might be one of the only missing features on here, you know, kind of give you a sense of when the orange cones might be out there. But.
I think it's an excellent use. I can see you using that right now.
Good, thank you.
Now, it's not live yet. Is it live in the system yet?
So it's not in an interactive map yet.
Okay.
We're working towards that, but this is in the document.
Right.
It's just easy to search for, you know?
If you have an interactive map, you could, I think, relatively easily, if the data are in there, have a feature where the person could select a fiscal year and get just those projects for that fiscal year.
Yes, we could do layers like that, no problem.
Okay.
Unless there's any other comments, this is the only action item on the agenda today. Oh, I'll mention one more thing. So during the TAC presentation earlier, I got an email from Comtran. So we're working on updating the data that's in the transit O&M section. I believe it's section 8. But we've got some updated numbers from them. So the numbers that are currently in there are is basically me using their prior NTE data that's publicly released. It's the National Cancer Database. And for breaking out how we think that, you know, transit operates and their capital budget. And so we got some updates to that. So we'll be doing some changes to that section. And other than that, this draft tip is what's going to the board.
Anybody have any comments, questions? Did have the draft of this at the last meeting. Anybody looked at it? I think we had some discussion, some autonomous, hard discussions, and impact of that, and looking at transportation going forward. Maybe we're spending all the money on roads and buses, and maybe look at different plans. Just a general discussion about. Other than that, I don't see any hands. This is an action item. We have a motion to recommend adoption.
Mm-hmm. You make the motion?
Moss?
I'll second.
1 second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm going to vote no, but I'd like it to. I would to reflect my concern that the timing of project number one is unrealistic.
Okay, noted. Okay, motion carries 6-1. All right, what else do we have? Information items. Item 3A, the draft strategic plan for the Palm Beach MPO.
So Jessica Jossman with Kittle Center here, as well as Bill Burke. So this is the fun
your
part.
Big smile.
Yes, thank you. So first, before we get into it, does everyone have a little clicker? Yeah, a little white unit you should have received when you walked in. So I just want to make sure. We're going to have a fun item to walk through right now. So. I'm Jessica Jocelyn, as Luke said, with Kittleson & Associates. I'm the project manager on the consulting side. I'm helping develop the strategic plan with the MPO. I also have Phil Worth here with me. He is also with Kittleson. He's the principal and an MPO expert. He works throughout the country, so he's able to bring in some examples outside of Palm Beach. So who here remembers receiving a survey a couple months ago about a strategic plan the MPO was conducting? Well, as a refresher, the board directed Nick specifically and staff to develop a 5-year strategic plan so that the board could, in a more measurable way, assess how the organization was doing in terms of achieving their goals and objectives, and specifically how to direct Nick on where to take this organization and how to assess him on his performance. So that brings us to this draft strategic plan that I'll be walking you through today. So the different components of the plan, the first item there is review past materials. And that has to do with a draft strategic plan that Nick had previously been working on and was interviewing the board members, getting their feedback on where the organization should go and the things we were trying to achieve. Also interactions and discussions with staff and just federal guidance. As you know, new federal guidance has come out recently. So is there anything in there that we need to be considering and things of that nature? The second element was that survey I just noted. So we sent out that survey, and I'm going to have a snapshot of the responses later down. But that information was also considered into this draft strategic plan. And then you'll see here peer MPO interviews. So we actually selected 5 other MPOs throughout the country. They just get some strategic questions in their minds and hear what they're doing. So we selected Chattanooga, Tennessee, Hampton Roads, which is in the Virginia area. Those two haven't been conducted yet, but we have conducted Austin, Texas as the third one, Wasatch in Utah, Salt Lake City, Sacramento, California we're doing, and then those are the 5. So we're working through that and getting really good pieces of information. And actually what we've already found in the 3 we've conducted is you're pretty much on par with them and thinking in the same innovative way and staying ahead of the curve. So good things to come from those interviews. And then today we're at the draft, the 5-year strategic plan step. So that's what your little clickers are for. We're going to have an interactive session really to garner discussion and kind of get a sense of your feedback from what we've already developed in the plan. We're going to come back down here as the timeline. We're going to come back in July for a final adoption of the strategic plan so that Nick and the staff can start really moving ahead and implementing some of the things that we're coming up with as a group. And then it really doesn't stop there. It stays a live document. As you complete some of your objectives, you can take them out of the plan and put in a new objective, or some of them just stay on in the document over time, and you can just monitor them and see how you're performing as you go through. So that's the process. Any questions there? Okay. So now to kind of see it in a graphic in terms of the content of the strategic plan. So this is really feeding in, as I was saying, that first step, the research and feedback from you all, looking at our strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities. And really that feeds into the development of a mission and vision. So I know for me these two terms were sometimes a bit confusing, but the mission was, you know, how as a business do you want to operate? What is your function that you're serving as a business? And your vision is going to be, what are you trying to create? What's that ultimate thing that your business, your organization is trying to achieve? So this really fed into that development. And then we ended up with six goals in the strategic plan that are supported by objectives and measurable outcomes. We wanted to make sure as we develop a plan that your group, the TAC, the board members, Nick, staff can pick it up and actually measure the things we're trying to achieve. A lot of times we can put a lot of great words together, but we can't really actually assess if we're achieving it. So that was a very important component of developing this draft strategic plan. And I do want to note that the goals are directly related to your unified planning work program that you adopted recently. So the survey results, I was saying, we had a total of 45 responses. As you can see, we had board member responses, committee member responses such as yourselves, MPO staff, and then we had a couple other folks from an advocacy group and the 3C process with FDOT. So a good amount of feedback. And generally what we found on a scale from 1 to 5, 5 being like, wow, we're knocking it out of the park in everything we do, and 1, you're way off, guys. We were generally in the 3, 4, and 5 category. So it was a very, you know, neutral to positive feedback that we got on all the different categories. So that was great to see that you're not really way off course. So you're starting from a very solid place as an organization as you enter into this 5-year plan. Now, getting into the specifics of what the mission, vision, and goals are, we went to your board in April with a draft mission and vision, and it was in the survey. So we brought it to them and got their feedback. And what we heard is, wow, way too many words. It was just way too lengthy. It was jargony, wasn't inspirational, wasn't easily repeatable with the public. So we went back to the drawing board and we ended up with this mission and vision. So the mission for the organization is to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system. So that's what the business is supposed to be doing. And then the ultimate vision and outcome of doing that properly is to create a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system. So we tried to keep it as concise but comprehensive as possible. And again, the goals that support this mission and vision directly related to your unified planning work program is administer the agency, engage the public, plan the system, prioritize funding, improve the experience, and then collaborate with partners. So those should sound familiar to you based on the unified planning work program. Yes, sir?
Only comment is, could you possibly unsplit the imperative? The collaborative of the plan is just really off language.
Oh, yes. Engineers are not the best at
the grammar.
Oh, so you're a blessed engineer with the English side. So, yeah, we can run a proper English. That came up from a few folks, I know, at the board meeting, too. So. Okay. Any other comments on these?
Improve the experience.
So that gets into the system system users. So how the users are on the system, that their experience is better for them. It's more reliable. They have more options. And you'll see we're going to have specific examples of the objectives that we have in the strategic plan. And it was also in the handout. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it. But things like creating tools where people know where their options are and how to connect to them and things like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that explained
yeah.
it for you.
Yeah.
So okay. Any other questions on this? And again, this is just the overview. We're going to get to more interactive information in a couple slides. So I'm going to now go into a test question so we know everyone knows how to use the clickers before we start into the strategic plan. So what we're doing is we are asking for you to tell us your most important to least important ranking of the objectives when we get to that slide. So for this test, we want you to rank your top three activities from most important to least. Now before you go ahead and log things in, I want you to know that it's only the top three, and you'll see there are four answers there. So the first letter you hit, I'm just going to say A, eating is your most important activity. That'll get 5 points. And then if you say sleep is your second, that'll get 3 points. And then learn is your third, it'll get 1 point. And then playing doesn't get any points. And you're going to see when everyone logs in their response, a graph's going to pop up. And it's going to be a weighted average, essentially based on those point assignments that you make to those different letters. And we're going to be able to see collectively as a group what is your most important, second important, and third important. I do want to say that when we get to the not fun, you know, or what do we want to call it? Yeah, we want the live real questions. When we get to those, if you hit four of, if you mess up, just take a pause and you can redo it, and it'll put in the answers that as you meant them. So if you hit four by accident, it'll knock your first one out, and it'll put actually your second as your number one. So just keep that in mind as you're going through. Anything else that we need to say on the ranking that I missed?
Is eating an actual activity, or is that age related? Prioritizing naps.
So yeah, the last group had eating and playing.
So not the first one out there.
Yeah.
I want to sleep.
I'm a BBB. That's my priorities. But so yeah, you all can go ahead and log in. We can test this.
Oh, one
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
Having given the BBB.
Yeah.
Can't
oh yeah, you can't do that. Sorry. That was a bad example. Yeah, Nick let everyone know last time. So you only can select something once as your priority. And it's not anonymous either.
So
we are logging who selects what.
So you
want to
aim towards the computer that has music right here?
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to see the amount of responses that we're getting.
But we're going to have buttons that say 1/A, 2/B.
Right. So pick the A, whatever button has your letter on it.
For your first choice.
So look at the
okay,
A,
so
ignore
some of,
the numbers.
Some of the choices will be numbers and some will be letters.
Yeah. Ignore the numbers on your buttons and just pay attention to the letters. Because we have A, B, C, and D. So you'll be either selecting the A button, B button, C. You can ignore the numbers. Yes, you all can go ahead and log in.
So this is real-time feedback.
Yeah.
Help you understand how your information is being captured. It's not an optical system, it's a radio frequency.
I did want to know, I kind of lost my thought earlier. We're not doing this when we get to the objectives for us to go back and then remove things because it came in fourth place. We are just doing this as an opportunity to create a forum for discussion that's interactive. Because I could stand up here and just read a table, right? And we could talk about it, but this is a great way to really engage a discussion, right? So as we get these priority orders, like for instance, this example is silly, but we're not going to say, okay, no one sleeps anymore because it's not the highest priority. We all eat, play, and learn. So it's similar in the real content when we're getting to the strategic plan. Everything on the slide we know is important. We're just wanting to kind of gauge interests or priorities for your group so then Nick can prioritize on his end, but really plan to keep everything in the strategic plan unless we get feedback to absolutely remove stuff. So I just wanted to make that clear, kind of the purpose behind this is really just to facilitate discussion. Okay, so now we're going to start with goal number one. So goal number one has to do with administering the agency. So again, you want to rank most important to least, your top three. And the four options we have, A is provide board member training, B provide MPO staff training, C provide effective meeting space, so like the room we're in or where the board meets, and then D manage expenditures. So I can kind of walk through all four of these as you're thinking about your priorities. From a board member training perspective, we've heard that not all board members maybe know A through Z what their roles and responsibilities are, especially when you have alternates coming in. So we wanted to make sure if elected officials are coming in to represent the greater population that they're properly trained and know what their roles and responsibilities are. The second one is to make sure MPO staff have the technical training needed to then inform groups like yourselves and the elected officials, things like complete streets, design guidelines, TOD, really everything that the MPO does. The effective meeting space, I've heard it's a bit challenging, and I've been in some of the rooms as well, especially the one in downtown West Palm, and it can get very crowded, especially if we want to engage the public more and more and make these spaces inviting for them. It can be pretty uncomfortable in there if you get over 10, 15 people. And also it's an awkward space in terms of presenting. So that was something that came up. And then manage expenditures, just making sure that the books match up, that what we say we're gonna spend and get the value out of it is actually being achieved.
Is that manage MPO's expenditures or managing the expenditures of the tip?
Yeah, the MPO.
Internal.
Yeah, MPO. So administer the agencies.
So if you all want to start plugging in your most important to least, and again, just three, not four. That would be good.
And I know there aren't, if some of you are very detail-oriented like myself, some of this is a bit hard. Because you want to know the how are we going to do it, and what do you mean, and have that level of detail. But if you have those questions, feel free to still ask them, and we can at least get them in our notes start thinking about those kind of in the next steps or phases. Or if you have high-level questions, those are welcome to you. Okay, so everyone's... it looks like seven responses, so yeah, if you want to try it again. That you all wanted to have on this item? Any key strategic things missing?
have a discussion before we vote. Because we might have views, and I have been to NPO board meetings, and my impression is that, not lately, because I gave up, but my impression is that most of the board members have no idea what they're doing. They just come in and rubber stamp what's presented before them. So I think that's really, really important, and I'm very happy to hear that there's been some training going on. I think the NPO staff is a very professional organization. I mean, I would think it's more important to provide board member training. I agree that staff training is important, particularly because the new hires, they're not familiar with the local conditions, because you have to understand local conditions in order to do these jobs. That's what I would have said before we voted.
I was going to say, the provide effective meeting space, I don't know if that is as important as interacting with the public effectively. So, I mean, you could have a large room, you could have nice chairs, but I think what the NPO is doing in terms of going on the internet and really interacting is more important than an actual space.
Okay, that makes sense. And that gets to our next goal, actually, engaging the public. But that's a good background for us to know why maybe some folks didn't rank it at the top.
I think staff training is the first thing, because a lot of the information, when I have questions, the staff is very well involved. I'm informed and very able and anxious to help, and they give a lot of information and ideas to us who come from different walks of life, different occupations, different areas, as to what the big picture is. And to me, the meeting space was the least important on the list, because we know we have to pay for things. So it went from the staff being informed and ready to help and know what they're supposed to be doing to the board being informed, and then let's pay for it.
Okay.
So
it wasn't that you feel they're lacking on the training, it was that you think it's excellent, you want to make sure we keep it.
Sure it continues.
And offer that resource and training to them. Okay, excellent. All right.
A point, counterpoint?
Yeah.
Just, I would say that managing the expenditures is smallest concern, because this agency, you guys do such a great job, and your budget is so small compared to this $2.8 billion that we just reviewed, that it's really insignificant. We can just produce what this means. $2 million? The budget was
$2.8 billion.
No.
Oh, agency.
Oh, agency. Yeah. It's a couple million bucks.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. You couldn't hire a professional in here to do anything close to this, but you guys made a firm. So kudos to you guys. You do a hell of a job. And that's why I would say managing the expenditures. What you get is what you get. And you guys have done a great job in 20 years, almost 20 years, plus or minus.
Yep.
But as Meyer was saying, you go to the MPO meeting, you can't even get a chair a lot of times. And a lot of people are very uninformed when you go there. So I think that's where that effective meeting space is. I mean, anybody runs a business, the money's number one. That's, I think, everybody. So we don't get off track when as these questions go on, there's all kinds of ways to look at it from building a strategic plan.
Yes.
Everybody's point is extremely adding value. You're very valid point.
And what I really love about your group is you all do come from different areas, right? So strategic planning that you may have done in different industries or even in similar industries, it'll be really great to have that kind of experience and feedback as we go through this.
It's going to be the best document I've seen in this organization.
It's similar to last year's set.
I know, but I mean,
thanks.
It's just so
continuous improvement. That's what we're seeing.
It is improvement.
I mean, the color, you must have got a new printer. The orange and the yellow is a little tougher.
Manage the expenditures, you got a new printer.
That's what we buy by first. Yeah. Color only, 100%.
But it's very easy to read, very easy to follow, even for a layperson who doesn't want to decide.
Matt's on the phone and I can't get Chair, are you okay with having the discussion before? We actually did that the last meeting with the TAC, to have the discuss open for discussion and then vote, just to kind of, you know, offer that opportunity if that's what the group would prefer.
I kind of like taking the raw data, the first impression, rather than being influenced by everybody else.
I agree with you.
I mean,
because if you have the discussion before the vote, you may influence one or the other.
And everybody is coming from a different level of expertise or area. There's a lot.
How about clarifying questions in terms of what we mean can be asked, but opinions we'll keep till after the voting? Does that sound okay? Great. So for goal two, this is obviously a very important one, specifically to this group. This is engaging the public. So the four that we have up here for you to rank and prioritize is A, create new MPO brand. And by brand, we don't just mean a logo. We mean the whole image that the MPO is projecting out into the public. So how is your documentation laid out? How are you effectively communicating with the public, whether it's in your documents or via the web? Even, you know, Nick and Melissa being out there and other staff, you're part of the brand. You know, how are you looking? How are you presenting yourselves? You are representing the agency. So it's really everything that represents the agency would be the brand that you're putting out there. For B, it's a bit more specific to promoting the website. So the MPO just invested in an upgrade, if you will, of your website. So we thought it would be strategic. It would be a strategic component of the plan to promote that website and make sure it's functional. People can find things and that it's user friendly. C is expanding your social media presence. I know a lot of people like to monitor number of hits, you know, number of likes on Facebook, number of tweets. But we really want to make sure, other than just counting numbers, expanding that presence so you're not only increasing the numbers but the effectiveness of the messages that you're sharing with folks, that people are understanding what we're sharing with the community and that they're able to provide feedback and that they feel it's an interactive experience. And then D is grow outreach campaigns. So who here participated in the Commuter Challenge?
All right, people that worked for an agency, so it was people that, it was trips to and from work.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, we still got a few, so that's a great example of a campaign where we're reaching out to the community to share with them, you know, the options of transportation we have, what the MPO does, and really get everyone excited. Valerie and the team did an excellent job. There was just a phenomenal amount of participants, especially, I think this was your first year, right, doing that. So we thought that was an important component to bring into the strategic plan to continue, and not just for commuting, but for other things as well. So any questions, clarifying questions on these four areas before you start voting? Or, start voting? Great, so you guys can start plugging in your top three. Media, and then there was a tie for growing the outreach campaigns and promoting the MPO website, and then last, the brand. So any discussion that you all want to have for this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I run an organization, president, and our view, what we're talking about, the same thing with this, is how to raise the awareness of the organization with the general public. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish. And I see this as the same thing. You're trying to raise the awareness of the MPO in the general public. And, you know, the C and D goes into A. And as I see, B is basically a effect of doing C and D.
Literally, they all kind of go together as one. Right. You really can't isolate because you're both ran by the other.
I agree. I just shiver at three significant digits on any of these numbers. I mean, it's the tyranny of the computer. You know, seven numbers. There's not sufficient precision to be able to distinguish between those. You can distinguish between 30 and 2 and 3, but you can't distinguish.
When you meet somebody in Elmire and they have a little story, maybe they disagree or wonder if you're really real, or they go Google you so they can figure out if you're actually telling the truth.
Oh, yeah, all right, absolutely.
Well, you are who you say you are, or what you did, and that kind of funny.
So the rankings, what do they mean? Like, you're asking people to rank from 1 to their top 3 favorite? Is the highest one the 33% the people that rank that most as their first choice?
Yes, so it's weighted. So the first gets 5 points, the second rank gets 3 points, and the last one gets 1 point. So it's an aggregate of all the points assigned to that.
Okay.
And then the denominator is the total points. So it's a weighted average, basically. Mm-hmm. And we actually, we heard a similar comment this morning. So.
That's what I thought.
Okay, so for goal 3, this is plan the system category. And the 4 objectives that we have, A is conduct multimodal studies. So think of your corridor studies, looking at transit, vehicular, freight, pedestrian, bicycle type of modes along the corridors. B is conduct transit access study. So Valerie did a great description of this earlier, but it's looking at a countywide assessment of where transit is going to now and how the access is for users of the system today and how we can improve it in the future. It looks at infrastructure as part of that system, of course, but it also looks at the socioeconomic and demographics of the area. I believe part of it, too, would be considering new access, like where the access should be in last mile locations based on where people want to go.
Yeah, it's like looking at basically that last mile connection to get to, like, can people get to transit stops, and so and then zoning in on where it's most needed and taking those other factors into consideration, including points of interest or major places that people, you know, need to be able to walk or bike to that, and if there's no sidewalk or no, you know, access point to it.
And then C is update your bike master plan. So that's pretty straightforward. You have a currently adopted bike master plan, and they're looking to update it. And then the last one is conducting special studies. So here are just some examples. We have a walkability audit, a road safety audit, maybe a transit-oriented development type of study you could do. So any clarifying questions on these 4? I know there is, again, maybe some overlap you might be seeing on some of these as we're writing them. But we can have that discussion after.
Questions, anybody? Yeah. We're ready to push the
start
buttons.
Your... On this one.
Well, you have 3 studies, and then you have an update or something.
Yeah.
So, in 3 cases, you're looking for information, and the community bike master plan was out of left field. I mean,
yeah.
different whole different thing.
Any other?
I like that.
Yeah. No, I see. It's more and feedback.
It's a different category. Yeah. It's a whole different animal.
Yeah. And more. You mean more maintenance of something that's existing as opposed to something that's new?
You know, it's like research and figuring out things, creating something and analyzing something, and then you're just going to update an existing plan. So to me, this was more informational, and this was just reporting something.
Yeah, it's not a consistent.
It's
right.
Not
verbiage,
it's like
or application.
Right.
It's
fruits, vegetables, and
then a steak or something.
Yeah. You know, it's
yeah.
Like it's different.
It's yeah,
just
it's different. I understand.
You could conduct a special study on opportunities for increasing the use of bicycles, and that would feed into
right.
Updating the
right.
Map.
Right. Yeah. So some of these are interrelated.
Yeah.
Maybe just add one thing to this back to something we talked about last time. When transportation is moving at light speed right now, and we're still on horse and buggy with this plan coming forward as we go forward, and those impacts of that are going to affect everything from land plans, mass transit, the amount of money that's being spent in different departments, special studies and multimodal kind of built together. May become extremely large. And you might be seeing that there. I think the memory is the motive is the.
Mm-hmm.
I think we want to go to the next level. I want to speak for everybody here, but I think everybody sees it. I think
yeah.
All of us have kids that are Ubering everywhere and don't even want to drive a car anymore. And that's just one example of that transportation dynamic is gigantic. I'm going to dinner Friday night with people that are taking Uber.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just took it all weekend in Nashville.
Right. I did it all in Charleston. I mean, it's so easy. It's like, boom, there. Now make that the driverless car,
mm-hmm.
or you take downtown areas or major urban areas, and everything. You get little pods running around. You just totally change the dynamic of the mass transit system significantly. So I think that's something I think this board was trying to say, or maybe the MPO itself isn't on that level. I think the citizens, we want to fish outside the box and be able to try to use this input and change that discussion.
My husband's partner just got a Tesla that picks itself out of the garage. They drove them to Orlando last weekend. I know.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
And I mean, hands up, hands free.
Mm-hmm.
And it will park itself,
yeah.
Which has great appeal for me.
I have a scratch on my side mirror as well. So.
Yeah. But yeah, now we need to leap into the next, because it's here.
It's making transportation totally different. I gotta have a car, I gotta have insurance, I gotta drive here, I gotta drive there. All of a sudden, it's really changed.
Mm-hmm.
And our industry needs to on top of that, we can't just historically project things.
Things that we used to.
Right.
This next update, which is coming up, the 30-year, 25-year bond, that's coming up, really needs to put a lot of emphasis on that. I mean, even the car companies are in shock. They don't even know what they're doing.
Well, they're partnering up with Tesla.
First time in this
year,
automobile manufacturer, they don't know how to put technology in the cars.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go get it. Technology people don't really want to build a car, but it's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's skateboards now. Battery with two electric motors and four wheels. Everything else is wireless. So it's really different.
Mm-hmm.
Really different.
Enough
of that. Go on.
So we're ready for the next goal? Okay, great. So next goal 4 is related to prioritize funding, and the 4 options that you're going to rank from most important to least. A is research new funding, so just staying on top of what funding's available to the MPO and partners. B is map funded and construction projects, which you somewhat have in front of you already, so we're already off to a good start. approved developments. So all the developments you see coming into Palm Beach County, making sure that that is mapped and documented and accurate and up to date to share with transportation partners and also the community so someone has a place to go. Currently, the county has something like that, but the MPO is seeking to partner with them and add more resources into creating that map similar to B. And then D is coordinate grant applications. So this has to do with the MPO wanting to potentially become a leader in the region in proactively tracking when applications are due and what the applications are for, and to collaborate with partners. We find the stronger the partnerships on these grants. So if the MPO were to partner with the DOT, to partner with the Regional Planning Council, maybe 7-9 cities, that looks much stronger when we submit that application to the federal government in terms of receiving those funds, versus if we in isolation went after something and then my neighbor went after something and we didn't tell each other because we want to keep it secret because it's competitive. So this is a challenging one because there are a lot of people in the region and we all want the money. So it's the, do we partner together to increase our chances, but then maybe hurt the competitive side if we did want our own piece of the pie? Or do we just keep it in isolation and just cross our fingers and hope we get it?
On the map, do you mean like the land use map? What's coming development-wise, that's
exactly, like Avenir, Minto West,
exactly.
The ILC, all of those types of developments.
I have to say, when I read this first, I was really troubled by this. It seemed to me it didn't really address fundamental issues. There's an overriding issue of politics, of course. But then there's a policy question of do you focus on already developed areas, improving transportation there, or do you prioritize for facilitating new development? I mean, those are what seem to be the big questions. And do you prioritize for mass transit, or I mean, that's not in any of these choices. It seems to me that they're missing the real issues here about prioritizing.
I agree with you. I know we're not supposed to have the discussion before.
That's okay.
Like, for example, the question, this county is 95% filled out. The number of units that are left on, let's say, raw land is very, we're beyond that. Mm-hmm. You get four big projects out of Western Side. Now, and you get the Western area down at point two. But it's already pretty much mapped to the known exactly. If you add up all the units, it's like 2 years of what the historic absorption rate was in Orange County for 50 years. So, again, we're going back to the horse and the buggy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maybe this isn't really what we should be prioritizing. I mean, one is money. It's always one to prioritize money. But it's a small amount, big amount. So, I mean, research new funding, yeah.
That's not setting priorities.
No.
So it sounds like you all are more on the prioritization process itself. So what projects are important to the agency? And then the funding just follows that, right? If you develop a list of projects 1 through 10, that's based on a process that you develop based on what's important to you. And then you go to your funding sources and see, okay, what can fund those top 10 projects. So you're thinking, are this draft maybe missed the opportunity to come up with strategic objectives on the how do we prioritize projects?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily on the did our priorities get funded in the work program, and things like that.
I would say we are an advisory committee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if our goal here is to be drawing up a strategic plan to this level and maybe some guidance
sure the feedback I'm able to get.
Just going through the exercise no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, B and C are basically tactics.
Yes.
It's not really goals or really, as I see it. The coordinated grant applications is really, again, a tactic of what you're doing. So I don't, you know, research and funding, that's like motherhood and apple pie. So I don't see.
You're corrupting my vote. I said, you're corrupting my vote. No, I'm kidding.
But I'm saying I don't see that these objectives for prioritizing funding really are goals. They're more tactics.
So,
the big picture is you got to have money and you got to have a plan.
Yeah.
That's I assume you're mapping what's out there when something is approved in the city and where you're developing. You're mapping an idea.
Yeah. Yeah, like what you have in front of you is a, like you said, it's one of the best products, right? Because
I think this is what we want on the website, public, when they're asking questions. They don't, nobody calls anymore and asks a question. Website
right.
Do it.
Right.
So your brand is your website.
This is more like outreach to the community.
Yeah, you're providing this is all to the community. All of that.
Yeah.
I will say though that like the MAP approved developments, there's a TCEA, which is a traffic concurrency exception areas, which allows traffic to move in different areas, trying to your
at
point,
least the 95.
Deal with, yeah, right. Well, to deal with. The revitalization east of 95, not to keep everything just spreading out. So, you know, that catches my eye because it's something that is happening and is working and is addressing things that are ongoing. I'm not going to comment on any of the other things because I have my influence on it, but just a thought.
Okay. An aerial photograph. Projects that may be coming on the pipeline or significant ones that are already there. It's going to take a couple pages, this, three or four pages of it, would educate, I think, the members of the committee that aren't traveling to the county weekly.
And a picture is worth a thousand words.
Then you see an aerial, it's over on the map, but when you look at an aerial, we all know how to read maps. That's
so far.
Great. What did
that's
you want
actually
on the
very aerial? Helpful. You take an aerial, like when a planning site planner goes to get a project approved, we'll take an aerial, and they'll show the boundary and a color, overlay it on an aerial, and throw it up on a board, and you can see all the approved projects that are coming in.
Approved but unbuilt. So we could
Or if there's density that's coming in, or you can take this type of a graphic and take the downtown areas where someone Jeff Green's got 1,000 or 2,000 units and wants to build downtown. That's fine. You can kind of show it where it is.
Okay.
And then I think that would help the members be able to see, okay, where what's happening here, where's it going?
So we use the word wordsmithing to sort of talk about crafting language as a committee. Probably not very effective. I'm going to try to ask a map smithing question, though.
Absolutely.
So, my question is, if you asked me for a piece of data about development projects, what kind of information would you most like to see?
Name, square foot, number of houses, square footage of commercial, square footage of institutional, so they know what it is.
Okay.
So those are the traffic generators.
That was my question.
That's the norm. Because
we can get real detailed, or we can bundle up to real general.
No, I don't think there
is. Maybe somewhere in between.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what we're talking about, but I like to look at the traffic studies to show if you can map, if you could get show an aerial view is really better than a map. That's true. They're available all over the place. But if you can show up the development and its impact on the transportation system in some way, like increased vehicle miles on this artery and on that artery. I mean, these all come out of the traffic studies. That's give you a picture of the impact of the
picture. Very difficult because they're all interrelating, all capturing, generating, and capturing.
I know.
It's a real spider web.
I understand that. And it's fun to read those traffic analyses. I have to say, if there were something presented graphically, it would be really very helpful.
One of our tasks, I think, is going to be using this feedback to come up with a product that tries to make many of you as happy as possible.
But that doesn't.
And so we're trying to get our head around how to do that well.
You could do a very simple map very quickly of the big projects that are left to be built.
Yep.
And there's only two areas, really. It's the western area and then down west of the turnpike. Biloxi down to Glades, and then those areas would show what's happening in that area that we had to go to in the traffic study. That's very, I don't think even traffic engineers really know.
I don't disagree with you a little bit. I mean, those areas are important, and there are developments proposed there, but if you look at downtown West Palm Beach, with all of the high-rise condominiums either under construction or one just approved and four more, I mean, it just, and all the apartment, the demand for transportation, whether it's automobiles or bicycles or self-driving cars or whatever it happens to be, is an extraordinarily. It's what seems to be important. So I think, you know, in terms of prioritizing where the funding should go, I think there are questions about increased development in the already built up areas. There's questions about accommodating development in otherwise unbuilt up areas. You know, the priority issues seem to be among those things. Rather than mapping or researching new additional areas of funding.
Okay, well, I think we got good feedback. If the group can still prioritize these, I know there's discussion about tactic versus objective versus an activity, but if we could still.
Reliability. It's something that we're doing currently with the congestion management plan that the MPO is preparing, actually working with Kittleson. So it's just reporting on a recurring basis how the system is performing. The metrics that we're reporting on haven't been all decided yet, but that is one element that we want to think about from a strategic standpoint in terms of improving the experience for folks so we can really understand where the deficiencies are in the system across different metrics. B is create system map for all modes. What came out of discussion for this item was that the greater community doesn't necessarily know all that's available to them from a system perspective, so they may not know all of the transit that they have access to. They might not know all of the greenways network, waterways network. So there are just a lot of things that
are in our system that we want to better document and share with the community. C is facilitate pop-up projects. So this has to do with demonstration projects. So what we've seen throughout the country is there are innovative projects that we can be implementing, such as complete streets, things like that, that sometimes folks are a little bit afraid of doing because it's change. If we take a lane away, for instance, from a facility, that's scary to some people, and it could cost a lot of money and seem very permanent to someone. So for pop-up projects, what the MPO could do is work with partners, cities, CRAs, and determine, okay, let's have a very small budget, use some duct tape, some potted plants, and just go out one day and take a lane away, just to show the community what will happen. So it's not permanent, it doesn't cost a lot of money, and you can use it to facilitate change and innovative thinking. And then if folks like the demonstration project, then it can ultimately get done in a permanent type of way. So that's just one example of a pop-up project. They also do parklets, where you change an area into like a green space. Pedestrian plazas, or a parking space, they turn into like a smoothie cart, you know, things like that. You can just have fun with it. And then the last one is innovate existing projects. So I know this is something you all are currently doing. Say the DOT is gonna go in and resurface one of their roadways, and there may be an opportunity while they're out there and while they're preparing and designing for this resurfacing job, maybe there's something the MPO working with the partners can come up with that's innovative in terms of a bicycle facility application or a multi-use path or complete street applications that wouldn't otherwise have gone in. They would have just repaved it and been done with it.
Would improve be a better word than innovate? Because what you're talking about is actually bringing it up to a better level. Whatever they're doing, if they're going to resurface anyway, maybe they want to lay cables or do,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what.
Yeah.
But
enhance, improve. Yeah,
yeah.
There are
I
maybe
mean,
some other verbs we could use for that. Yeah. Consider that. Any other discussion on clarifying these elements before we get into the voting and then the opinions discussion? Okay, you can start your voting. And we have one more after this. We'll be done with the polling portion. Finish part? All right. So the highest vote was create a system map for all modes, then followed by create a system report card, and then a tie with the pop-up projects and innovation into existing projects. So any opinions folks wanted to share on that before moving to the last poll? Hearing none. The last one is collaborate with partners. So the four options here that you'll rank from most important to least is conduct training workshops in terms of the funding programs, the local initiatives, and the transportation alternatives program. That's the correct, I always get my acronyms. Okay, transportation alternatives, okay. So this is really to make sure that the agencies that are applying for these funds knows what's needed and what's in the application so that when they're investing their resources and time and submitting that they know how to properly do so, and also just educating that the funds are available and kind of encouraging folks to apply, because sometimes you're in a situation where we have extra funds available and not enough applications. So we want to obviously spend our dollars and put them into the system. For B, notify of other funding available. So just collaboration with partners on this funding source is available, this funding source is available, and just expanding that education and awareness. C is complete streets implementation guide. And this is a specific element directly related to your complete streets policy that was adopted. We've heard that it's great to have a policy, but when you're getting to the designer or engineer level, they can't do much with a policy in terms of standards. They need design standards and guidelines to use as a resource to then complement and achieve implementing that policy that was created. So that was something pretty strategic that had been noted previously by the technical group. And then the last one is road impact fee alternatives. So how can we get different money to fund our transportation system? And that obviously would definitely be among partners, and collaboration would be needed. That's not something the MPO can do on their own. So these are the four areas that were selected to facilitate discussion on the collaborative with partners. Any clarifying questions? Training workshops got half the votes, followed by the road impact fee, complete streets guide, and then other funding. Any discussion you all wanted to have on this one? I think that's pretty straightforward. Okay. So that was the walkthrough of the polling. I did want to note or remind, as I said, we're going to come back in July with the final strategic plan. And we obviously are taking this draft to the board, and we'll make some edits prior to based on today's session with this group and this morning. I did want to note that we have benchmarking that we'll be doing. So when we do have our final list of objectives, we're going to have a target. So what are we trying to achieve for that objective over the next 5 years? But we're also going to benchmark where we are today. So you have a measurement and snapshot of where we are now and where you want to go into the future. So I think that's it. Thanks, guys. I know that was a long item, but that was really helpful feedback.
Thank you.
It was very interesting. I enjoyed it.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, the clickers really can spice up a little fun.
Okay, where are we?
She wants to be back,
obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Any questions, comments, anybody? Okay, move on to 3B, the transportation code contest.
So the MPO is doing a transportation photo contest in an effort to collect great transportation photos of Palm Beach County. So I don't know if you guys picked up a flyer or not about pass these around. It's going to be open until end of August. The final, we have five transportation categories: air, waterways, non-motorized, automobiles. So transit, and basically, it's we just want to have some great pictures to include in our future transportation documents on our website and hopefully in our office. Anyone over the age of 18 is welcome to participate. The pictures have to have been taken by you. They can't have identifiable people in them, and it's a max of 5 entries per person. So keep an eye out for some good photo ops of Palm Beach County. They have to be of Palm Beach County, too. That's basically the criteria. And you go to our website, the link's on the flyer, and you fill out the form. If it's, if you scroll down further, it's just a form on this same pledge page where you can enter your information and upload the photos under each transportation category. So you could submit all 5 under one category or one of each or whatever you'd like. So just wanted to let you guys know this and look forward to your pictures.
I assume the picture of the in February of 180 private jets lined up on the airport with
you
look down there all the time, you see this. It's always fun. Okay, I think that concludes our summary points of May 19th MPO comments? Any member comments? Sorry for taking so long to meet. Good discussion, everybody. Okay, next meeting is July 6th. Tough meeting for anybody. I'll ask if anybody already has plans of being out of town on that July week.
I do.
I do. And
maybe it's just a possible cancellation, but what do we have as a dinner, Nate? Do you?
The final strategic plan.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. We'll have to look through and see what we have to do then. If the majorities are gone,
And we're all in August.
Yep.
Anybody else have plans to be gone the July 4th, please?
Okay. It's looking like everybody.
So 1, 4, 5? Yeah. So 4 of the last pretty much.
I could propose new dates. We could move it a week. So we could discuss it now, or I could send out a doodle poll and see what you guys think. We'll do that then. So check your emails or an email from
Heavy Summer,
Margarita, or myself.
Personally, I guess. Heavy Summer.
I'd like to take a picture like I did several months ago, just to update, if I could, before everyone leaves, maybe if we can all do like we did last time, kind of gather in that corner with people seated and a few others standing behind you, if you don't mind, just after the conclusion of the meeting.
Okay, we need a motion to adjourn.
Judy,
all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.